Welcome back. We're going to pray with scripture, and we're going to do the divine office. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be God. Blessed be God. Blessed be God forever. Let's begin by praying for the Holy Father's monthly intentions. Let us pray that we might again learn how to discern, to know how to choose paths of life and reject everything that leads us away from Christ and the gospel. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Before the Hail Mary, let us pray. To learn to live, one must learn to love. Sometimes we take the wrong path on the journey of love, because to love, one must know how to discern. Holy Spirit, light of our understanding, serene impulse of all our decisions, grant me the grace of attentive listening to your voice, to discern the passwords of my heart, that which I am most sensitive to understand what is truly important to me, and to rid myself of what disturbs my heart. I ask for the grace to learn to pause, to become aware of my way of acting, of the feelings that inhabit me, and of the recurring thoughts that condition me, and that I often do not notice. I want to know myself and understand my deepest desires so that my decisions lead me to the joy that comes only from you. Even if I have to go through hardships and uncertainties, even if I have to fight, think, and seek, in the end, your joy in me is the fruit of the right decision. Grant me to know myself more, to know you more, and to love you and serve you more. Through Jesus our Lord, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence. Psalm 50 is our prayer for this divine office. The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion's perfect beauty, he shines. Our God comes, keeps silent no longer. Before him, fire devours. Around him, tempests rage. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people. Summon before me my people who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for he, God, is the judge. You are just, O Lord, and the place where you dwell is a place of sublime peace and joy. You have called us on this harrowing journey. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Father, form me as I try to form new patterns this time. Here we are, Lord. Our God will be made manifest. He will not come in silence. Form me. Form me. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you. For I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you. I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds, for I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky, all that moves in the field belongs to me. Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you, and you shall honor me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise in honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son. Help us, Mother, with what we most urgently need, especially learning to teach and know God. Even when it doesn't make sense, help us to trust in you. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord, trust in God, that is. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Offer to God the sacrifice of praise. I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts. But God says to the wicked, but how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips? You who despise my law and throw my words to the winds. You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil and whose tongue is plotting crime. You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son. You do this, and should I keep silent? Do you think that I am like you? Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. The sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I want a loving heart more than sacrifice, knowledge of my ways more than holocausts. Our reading, our scriptural lesson begins with the astonishing. You can consider it the next part or another story, picking up where we left off in the story of the first book of Kings. The Lord reveals himself to Elijah. I will listen to what the Lord God is saying. He tells of peace for his people. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, that he had put all the prophets to the sword. Jezebel then sent a messenger to Elijah and said, may the gods do thus and so to me, if by this time tomorrow I have not done with your life what was done to each of them. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life, going to Beersheba of Judea. He left his servant there and went a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree and sat beneath it. He prayed for death. This is enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than any of my fathers. He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree. But then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. After he ate and drank, he lay down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you. He got up, ate and drank, then strengthened by that food, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. There he came to a cave where he took shelter, but the word of the Lord came to him. Why are you here, Elijah? He answered. I have been most zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, But the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said, go outside and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will be passing by. A strong and heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. Then when he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, Elijah, why are you here? He replied, I have been most zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, but the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Go take the road back to the desert near Damascus, the Lord said to him. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king of Aram. Then you shall anoint Jehu, son of Shimethah, as king of Israel, and Elisha, son of Shaprathith of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you. If anyone escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill him. If anyone escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill him. Yet I will leave 7,000 men in Israel, all those who have not knelt to Baal or kissed him. Elijah sent out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphathar, as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He was following the 12. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran over to Elijah, and said, please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you. Go back, Elijah answered. Have I done anything to you? Elijah left him, and taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh, and gave it to his people to eat. Then he left and followed Elijah as his attendant, which is like an acolyte, basically his follower, disciple, or assistant. Responsory prayer. The Lord God said to Moses, when my glory passes, I will put you in the hollow of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. For no one sees me and lives. No one has ever seen God. The only Son of God, nearest the Father's heart, has made him known. For no one sees me and lives. Second reading, from The Journey of the Mind to God by St. Bonaventure, Bishop. Mystical wisdom is revealed by the Holy Spirit. Christ is both the way and the door. Christ is the staircase and the vehicle. Like the throne of mercy over the Ark of the Covenant and the mystery hidden from the ages, a man should turn his full attention to the throne of mercy and should gaze at him hanging on the cross, full of faith, hope, and clarity and charity. Devoted, full of wonder and joy, marked by gratitude and open to praise and jubilation, then such a man will make with Christ a pasch, that is, a passing over. Through the branches of the cross, he will pass over the Red Sea, leaving Egypt and entering the desert. There he will taste the hidden manna and rest with Christ in the sepulchre, as if he were dead to things outside. He will experience as much as is possible for one who is still living what was promised to the thief who hung beside Christ. Today you will be with me in paradise. For this Passover to be perfect, we must suspend all the operations of the mind, and we must transform the peak of our affections, directing them to God alone. This is a sacred mystical experience. It cannot be comprehended by anyone unless he surrenders himself to it. Nor can he surrender himself to it unless he longs for it. Nor can he long for it unless the Holy Spirit, whom Christ sent into the world, should come and inflame his innermost soul. Hence, the Apostle says that this mystical wisdom is revealed by the Holy Spirit. If you ask how such things can occur, seek the answer in God's grace, not in doctrine, in the longing of the will, not in the understanding, in the sighs of prayer, not in research. Seek the bridegroom, not the teacher, God and not man, darkness, not daylight, and look not to the light, but rather to the raging fire that carries the soul to God with intense fervor and glowing love. The fire is God, and the furnace is in Jerusalem, fired by Christ in the ardor of his loving passion. Only he understood, who said, "My soul chose hanging, and my bones death." Anyone who cherishes this kind of death can see God, for it is certainly true that no man can look upon me and live. Let us die then and enter into the darkness, silencing our anxieties, our passions, and all the fantasies of our imagination. Let us pass over with the crucified Christ from this world to the Father, so that when the Father has shown himself to us, we can say with Philip, "It is enough." We may hear with Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you," and we can rejoice with David, saying, "My flesh and my heart fail me, but God is the strength of my heart and my heritage forever. Blessed be the Lord forever," and let all the people say, "Amen, amen." All who keep God's commandments live in God, and God lives in them. We know that he dwells in us by the Spirit he has given us. In his Holy Spirit, God created wisdom, which he has poured forth upon all creation and has offered to those who love him. We know that he dwells in us by the Spirit he has given us. And then we're going to continue to the Saint Prayer of the Day. All-powerful Father, may we who celebrate the feast of Saint Bonaventure always benefit from his wisdom and follow the example of his love. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we celebrate the heavenly birthday of the Bishop, St. Bonaventure, we may benefit from his great learning and constantly imitate the ardor of his charity. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So it's a really beautiful feast day. It's an awesome feast day. Bonaventure is really known among the Franciscans, and he's known for his own kind of seeing or experiential approach to spirituality, where you have to see God, you have to find God in your experiences, in your innermost self, in your subconscious. It's very personal. So in any case, thank God for this. And I'm going to begin, I'm going to reflect a little bit more from the diary of St. Faustina. So Faustina just finished her Dark Night of the Soul, and now she's living in, you know, she's thinking of things all in a new way. "However, in all these sufferings and struggles, I was not omitting Holy Communion. When it seemed to me that I should not communicate, I went before Holy Communion to the directress, and told her that I could not approach the sacrament because it seemed to me that I should not do so. But she would not permit me to omit Holy Communion. So I went, and I understood now that it was only obedience that saved me. The directress herself told me later that my trials had passed quickly, and this solely because you were obedient, sister. And it was through the power of obedience that you struggled through this so bravely. It is true that it was the Lord himself who brought me out of this torment, but my fidelity to obedience did please him. Though these are all frightening things, the soul should not be too fearful, because God will never test us beyond what we are able to bear. On the other hand, he may never send us such sufferings. But I write this because if it pleases the Lord to let a soul pass through such sufferings, it should not be afraid, but insofar as this depends on the soul itself, it should remain faithful to God. God will do a soul no harm, because he is love itself, and in this unfathomable love has called it into being. However, I was so tormented, I myself did not understand this. Oh my God, I have come to know that I am not of this earth. You, O Lord, have poured this profound awareness into my soul. My communion is more with heaven than with earth, though I in no way neglect my duties. During these times I had no spiritual director. I was without any guidance of any kind whatsoever. And I begged the Lord that he did not, but he did not give me a director. Jesus himself has been my master from the days of my infancy up to the present moment. He accompanied me across all the deserts and through all dangers. He sees clearly that God alone, I see clearly that God alone could have led me through such great perils unharmed, with my soul untarnished and passing victoriously through all difficulties, immense though they were, going out. Later on, the Lord did give me a director. After such sufferings, the soul finds itself in a state of great purity of spirit and very close to God. But I should add that during those spiritual torments, it is close to God, but it is blind. The soul's vision is plunged into darkness, and though God is nearer than ever to the soul which is suffering, the whole secret consists in the fact that it knows nothing of this. The soul, in fact, declares that not only has God abandoned it, but it is the object of his hatred. How great is the malady of the eyes of the soul which, struck by divine light, claims that there is no light, whereas it is so intense that it blinds her. Yet despite all, I learned later that God is closer to a soul at such moments than at others. Because it would not be able to endure these trials with the help of ordinary grace alone, God's omnipotence and extraordinary grace must be active here, for otherwise the soul would succumb at the first blow. This is a very interesting passage. First, I ask that you pray, say Hail Mary now for our spiritual leaders, especially the bishops and the Pope and all of the mystical leaders of the Church who are maybe going through some form of this or challenge to their faith that is similar to this dark night that she's speaking about. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The first paragraph is very interesting. It's about Faustina's relationship with Holy Communion. She wants to omit Holy Communion, feeling that she must be some type of grave sinner, since she feels she is so much a failure and so abysmally rejected by God. But even though she says she didn't have any guidance whatsoever, it's really not true. She does have spiritual direction from Sister Directoress, but she feels like she wanted this more personal and in-depth type of spiritual direction that she'll get from Father Sapochko later on, and Father Andreas later on. But her directress knows her very well. And this is a saving grace, Faustina says, that she had to be, to accomplish her vocational goals, she had to be obedient to Sister Directoress. So for me, you know, having had such a good relationship as Faustina has with the Church's representatives, having had such an easy time with obedience, but still, you know, there are times, certainly, where obedience to the Church absolutely has and would have saved me even more, even if it were in some sense blind. So that's interesting, the idea of obedience as good news in my life rather than as just kind of this rule book or this oppressive kind of an organization. I think when religious leaders seek to preserve themselves rather than to serve others, it gets hard to be obedient to them. And we experienced that a lot over the last 20 years in the Catholic Church. But Faustina, her director is good. She's focused on her. She knows what's going on, even if she's not going to offer the type of in-depth direction later on. And it was through the power, something called that Faustina reflectively calls the power of obedience, that she was able to fight so bravely and through an extraordinary grace that upheld her. She wants to assure people going through similar things that they shouldn't be too fearful, that they shouldn't succumb to fear, because succumbing to something like that might even be deadly for them. if they have the wrong reaction to what's going on in their spiritual lives. And then she says the fruit of her conversion, so to speak, is my communion is more with heaven than with earth, though I in no way neglect my duties. And she has a really interesting theological reflection about this idea of the motif of light, of getting to know God is through this motif of light, and it actually blinds the person at first, and then they need God to heal them and give them new sight. So it's really interesting. And again, Kevin. So she's already beginning her journey toward being a mystic. It came at a great cost, but she's already living the life of heaven, in a sense, in a limited sense, here below. All right, I offer my plenary indulgence for myself today. I want to get a plenary indulgence with the other Marians of the Immaculate Conception, Marian helpers, on this July 15th, Feast of St. Bonaventure today. I want to get my own plenary indulgence and use it for me today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.